Thane, let's start with this executive order yesterday that impacts birthright citizenships. What do you make of that order, and what potential challenges could come to that executive order from the president?
Well, you know, the Constitution is clear about where citizenship gets automatic approval, which is if you're born here. Virtually a tremendous section of our country came here as immigrants over, several hundred years, and the whole point was that the next generation would be granted citizenship. The difference is that Trump is saying, yeah, but those people arrived legally, and if you've arrived illegally, you shouldn't get the benefit of it by simply having a child born here, which just makes it more difficult to separate the families from if you're trying to deport them. Trump's position is that, well, we weren't deporting people for the last 4 years, and so we created a lot more Americans that were actually natively born. But he ran on a principle of deportation. And so clearly what he's really saying is that you've got to make sure that there's no impediment to removal from the country. And one removal would be citizenship.
There are a lot of other executive orders yesterday, including the president talking a lot about TikTok. We've heard about this social media app a lot in the news over the last couple of days. What's the latest there? Do you feel like this TikTok saga is eventually going to play out at some point and we'll get a resolution?
Yeah, I'm not sure this makes much of a difference. I think he's always taken the position that he wants TikTok to survive. He just wants it to have a new ownership. The question was he going to actually say, I'd like to issue an executive order that simply says that the same Chinese company can continue to own TikTok, and that we should not worry about the national security implications. I think we believed that he wanted to create as much opportunities as possible to give TikTok a chance to continue to remain active and try to sell itself to a new ownership group. And I think that's what he's trying to achieve with this. He's basically saying, we don't want to lose TikTok. Half the country relies on it. He likes it. It's just they ran out of real estate because, frankly, TikTok owners never took Congress seriously and never undertook any efforts to sell itself and divest the ownership.
Visiting with CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum, a number of other executive orders issued yesterday, more expected, I think, in the coming days. But there were a lot of pardons issued, both by outgoing President Biden and incoming President Donald Trump. Any surprises there on those pardons? And then are there any other legal challenges that could come to these pardons that were issued yesterday?
Well, the Founding Fathers in Article 2, Section 2, gave the president pardon powers. The question comes to, what can they be preemptive, right? Do you have to be charged with a crime, or do you have to have already been prosecuted with a crime before the pardon applies? The way Joe Biden used it on the way out is to say, here are a number of people that we believe Donald Trump will be who has already placed on an enemies list and will seek to weaponize the legal system and punish them. And so for whatever crime they may or may not have been committed, and in order to avoid, which is interesting, he wasn't really talking about whether they were innocent, he's saying, I want to prevent them from being financially ruined. Maybe he knows something about that because of the various cases brought against him by being prosecuted for crimes, whether they committed it or not, that they're simply receiving a preemptive pardon. And I think that's where the controversy comes from. The Founding Fathers did not make that distinction. The power is there as long as it's a federal crime. State crimes are not pardonable or clemency can't be given, but this is a bigger protective shield than you would normally expect.
Thane, as it relates to these executive orders that the president signed yesterday, I imagine some or most of these will get challenged legally. Some could get to the Supreme Court. Are you confident the high court could be impartial on these cases?
Well, during the first Trump administration, where he already had brought in two new Supreme Court justices, the building of the wall, his attempt to eliminate DACA, these were all done through executive orders, and the Supreme Court rejected them, and they were conservative justices. They did uphold the Muslim travel ban, but many of the other ones, a conservative majority on the Supreme Court rejected. Remember, you know, executive orders are a tricky business. It is an opportunity for the executive branch to override Congress, to say, I don't need congressional approval. I don't need for them to pass legislation. I'll just put it in play on my own. By the way, President Obama created DACA. He wanted immigration reform. He wasn't getting anywhere with Congress, so he created the Dreamers Act through an executive order. So it's become much more controversial because in the last several for the presidential terms, we've seen an explosion of this unilateral actions taken by the president to override Congress. And to remember, Congress has power over the purse. So when you or issue an executive action that requires funding, that's yet another reason why it's suspect in a system where we, you know, have always maintained the separation of powers. The executive action is a way for the president to override the separation of powers.
CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum. Thane, thank you as always for your time, your perspective. Look forward to visiting with you on a number of other topics in the very near future. Thanks so much.
Anytime, Chris. Take care, buddy.
You too. Thanks so much.